It's a very good evening and welcome along to another edition of The Score. It might be sounding a wee bit different tonight. The reason for it, we are out and about. We have left the studios in Letterkenny and we've come into our neighbouring county of Tyrone. It is, of course, All-Ireland final week. It's a huge week for the Red Hand County and it's a huge week as well, in particular, for the Owen Rose O'Neill's Club here in the parish of Lekpatrick. It's a Score All-Ireland final special tonight as we look ahead to the big decider. And it's a very good evening. Welcome along to the programme. We are out and about tonight on Saturday at 5 o'clock. The 2021 All-Ireland Final will throw in at GAA headquarters with around just over 40,000 spectators at Croke Park for the big decider. As Tyrone, of course, take on Mayo as they chase down the Sam Maguire. It's been a while since Mayo won it. Tyrone, of course, have three senior titles to their name. The last one, of course, came in 2008. They suffered defeat in the 28 final. But is our crowd here tonight in the Owen Rose O'Neill's Club in the parish of Lekpatrick confident of taking the All-Ireland on Sunday? Yeah. Saturday evening, the game is. Saturday. Listen, you'll have it on Sunday. I'll be taking it back up the road with you on Sunday. Listen, it's great to be here. And we've got a star-studded lineup tonight here at the Owen Rose Club. Coming up later on after 8 o'clock, we'll be joined by a couple of All-Ireland winners. Stevie O'Neill from the Clannagale Club from just up the road will be here. He, of course, is one of the most decorated players in the history of Tyrone GAA. He's got numerous All-Stars. He's got three All-Ireland titles. And he's got a Footballer of the Year crown as well. Plus, Martin McHugh has an All-Ireland from 92, three Ulster titles and two All-Stars. The Kilcare man has made the long trip across the county of Donegal and he's sneaked into Tyrone tonight. And he's just sneaked down the door as well, so he has. We'll be getting his thoughts ahead of the big decider. And a man that's well known in Tyrone GA circles, he's got an All-Star and a couple of All-Ireland titles, John Lynch, will be on the programme. That's coming up after 8 o'clock. But between now and then, we're going to be focusing in on the Owen Rose Club and in particular their current star of the moment, Mr. Cathal McShane, the Impact Super Sub, who played a huge role, of course, in Tyrone's victory against Kerry in the semi-final. We'll be speaking to some of his playing colleagues and some family members, and we'll also hear from the likes of Declan McCrossan, an Owen Rose man that has an All-Ireland title to his name as well. Danny Ball, who has had involvement in the club in the 70s, and Niall Conway's from just up the road in the Clannagale Club. He, of course, played with Brian Duher and Fergal Logan, the current Tyrone management. But we're going to start with the wonderful trio. Up top, we've got the club chairman, Stephen Boyle. We've also got club stalwart, Donal Ducky Mackay, and Gavin Early, who has been my right-hand man over the course of the last couple of weeks and trying to put this show together. Gentlemen, you're welcome to the Score programme in Highland.
Thank you.
I suppose we'll start with the chairman, Stephen Boyle. It's good to see you. You're welcome. Welcome to the stage. And I suppose the build-up to this game around here, we see the buntings out here and we see the signs up and we look at all the youngsters out the window on the field who are enjoying themselves and some of them experiencing the All-Ireland final week for the first time. What's it been like around the club over the last couple of weeks, Steve?
Over the last couple of weeks there, it's the hype's been starting to build up. Kids starting to get into it and as you see, plenty of bunting up and plenty of support.
Yeah.
And as you can say is they're all looking forward to Saturday. Hopefully we can bring Sam up the road. Probably will bring Sam up the road, but
you're confident then already?
Straight on. Have to be. There's no sense in not being confident.
Yeah. And when you've got a man like your own clubman, Cathal McShane, so heavily involved and playing such a vital role as well, Stephen, it's fantastic for the parish.
Oh, it's a big bonus for the parish, like, and even for all the kids out there, like, they look up to Cathal. Doesn't matter what you ask Cathal to do, he'll come and do it for you with the kids. He supports them. He's behind them. And I know he had a long year there recovering. And to see him back doing what he does best there, it's just great to see. Like, so.
Yeah. I'll bring Ducky in. I was told that you played football till you were about 60. So, you're not far off 60 now, so you're not.
No, not that far.
You're still in good shape, sure you are, Ducky. Listen, you're a club stalwart here. You've put a lot into the club. You've coached the likes of Cathal McShane as well, so you have during your time.
In Cahill, it was easy to coach because he always wanted to learn, and he was forced to train on the last day. Yeah. You know, he was just great to work with.
Hmm. You've experienced a lot of build-ups for All-Ireland finals, so you've had the joy and the disappointment. How does this one compare to them, Ducky?
Well, this year, compared to 2018, they're far more hype about this team. People are more expecting this team than they were in 2018. You know, probably 2003, when you could win it, 2005 and 2008. 2018, I don't think we thought we could win it, but this one, we definitely can win it.
Yeah. There's a lot of talk about Tyrone this year, so there is, and obviously there's the huge excitement ahead of the final. We'll bring Tom Comack in as well, or one of our GAA correspondents at Highland, and Tom has been investigating how come we are in a parish with the Mayo colours. And Galvin Early will have all the details. Tom?
Yeah, I was wondering there I see Donald Duck has the Mayo colours on. I thought maybe James Horne had a spy up here. Maybe he could...
No, definitely not.
It'll be comforting to Martin Carney to know there's someone here wearing the colours of Mayo. And is there any significance of the colours being Mayo colours, red and green?
Well, there was a team here in the 30s and they wore red and green.
Yeah.
And the man at the field was bought off was originally from that area. So maybe that was the significance. We used to play in red and blue, and then in 1988 we changed to red and green.
So it's Mayo colours every other day except next Saturday.
Except next Saturday.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the man involved in the pitch, Galvin, he was a Mayo man. The pitch was finished in 1987, is that correct?
That's right. You can ask you ask different people, you probably get a different twist on the story, but the story that's the most common, the one that we believe, is it probably goes back to 1920. A guy called Michael Hunt left Shrey near Charlestown in Mayo to go to Philadelphia. And when he was there in Philadelphia, he met Catherine Keane. And Catherine Keane was actually born in Philadelphia, but her mother was from Glenmornan. So in the 30s, they done something that was probably a wee bit unusual back then. They came back from Philadelphia to Glenmornan for a holidays, and the Glenmornan Tourist Board, I suppose, would have promoted that an awful lot back in the day, as we do today here. Just yeah. So Catherine's home house is just actually over my shoulder here.
Yeah.
And when they came back in the 30s, they said that they stay, and Jackie Hunt was born, and Jackie took over running the farm, and the farm included the two fields where we sit today, and Jackie gave the fields, or sold the fields to the club in 1987, and the new colours were adopted in 1988. So I went back through the minute books last night, and it doesn't actually say why the change was made, but I would say there's probably a good correlation between the Mayo connection there, just knowing. Unfortunately, Jackie passed away last year, but he's a good... I'd love to know what his opinion this would be, because he's twisted between Mayo and Tyrone every time they played, and this week would have been a difficult week for him, but a great week too at the same time.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah, obviously, it's a great occasion for the club, as Oisin was saying, as Stephen was saying there. But in terms of interest, Gavin, you know, what is the influence... You say Carl McShane has brought to this club here, you know, in terms of interest from young people, yeah. Getting people involved, because he has become a superstar.
Yeah, it's massive. I'll probably take it back a wee bit. I always love that quote, and I'll probably get the quote wrong. You know, what we do in life, you know, resonates in history. And I think you go back to 2003 and the likes of Declan McCrossan and Stephen O'Neill here tonight, you know, what they've done on the field has caused what's happening today. Because, you know, a couple of days after we won Sam Maguire for the first time in 2003, you know, Declan brought the cup across the threshold of the gate there, and Cahill was one of the guys standing, you know, as a kid watching that, and it was inspirational. And now he's doing what they done back then, and the hope for us is that, well, he'll inspire the guys out in the field here playing football here tonight. And, you know, I still, it's probably a bit strange, but you're sitting watching Sky Sports, if you can't get the game, and still, I always get excited. You see the owner's crest or the owner's name coming up on Sky Sports, you know. And, you know, I'm an older fella. For younger people who are probably a bit more into that sort of thing, I'm sure it must be a massive kick and a massive boost. And it shows you it's possible. You know, North Tyrone has never been a happy hunting ground for Tyrone players in the past. You know, but the likes of, you know, Brian, Stephen, Declan in the past, and the likes of Cahill and Rona McNamee now shows how it's achievable and it's possible. And, hey, it doesn't matter what club you're from, you can go and play for Tyrone and get your All-Star and be the best scorer in Ireland, whatever it may be. So it's really inspirational stuff for the kids playing out in the field behind us here tonight.
Stephen, this is a massive parish. I only found this out when I arrived, because I was talking to Galvin, and I sort of said we're talking about the impact of having a small parish and the different dynamic from a big club and a big town, and I was very quickly put in my place that this is actually a huge parish, because it goes the whole way in as far as the Tunnies, just as you cross the border, and it's right in as far as the street. And Sturban, so it is.
It goes right on as far as Patrick Street, and right up the Curly Hill, and on up the end towards Clannagiel there, the far side of Murlach there. So it is a big Paris lick, so
yeah,
covers a lot of ground.
Covers a lot of ground. What about the chase for tickets? Who were you in charge of that, were you?
Oh, no, I left that down to Tony McGonagall. Hands washed.
Is Tony still speaking to everybody, is he?
I don't know. I haven't seen him here tonight.
Yeah.
He's away with the under-17s there playing in the semi-final tonight up in Ahlou. So
yeah.
Wish them all the best, too.
Yeah, well, hopefully we'll get an Owen Rose victory tonight on that one. Listen, before we let you leave our position here up on the stage, we're looking for your predictions for the weekend. Ducky, you were confident already.
Yeah. Throwing before.
Okay. And what's Cahill going to score, Ducky? You know how he works and how he operates.
I would say about 1-3.
1-3. very good. Well, you'll take it again, Stephen.
I'll go for the one, just.
You'll be happy with it. Yeah. And Galvin?
I think it'll be a point by Throwing. It could go extra time, but I think Throwing will be a point.
Yeah. Just, it could be the game. We could see another session of extra time. It could be that tight. Listen, gentlemen, thanks for joining us up on our stage here, the first of our lineup. And Galvin, I appreciate all your help over the last couple of weeks and getting it together as well. We're going to take a wee quick break. We're going to go back to the studio, and then we'll be hearing about all the secrets coming out of Mayo, because we're going to be joined by Martin Kearney. And then after that, Jared McShane, Ryan McShane, and Brendan Boggs will be joining us. We'll be hearing about who's the best McShane footballer. So we'll take a quick break. Join us for more after these. Welcome back to our Score program, live tonight out on the road in the county of Tyrone, here in the home of Cahill McShane at the Owen Rose O'Neill's Club in Lake Patrick. We've got loads of Tyrone to talk about between now and about 8:30. You never know, we could go to about 10:30 tonight. But I wonder what's happening in the county of Mayo. We go back to Tom Comack once again. Tom.
Yeah, indeed. Obviously, Mayo preparing for the All-Ireland. It's an annual event down there. And, certainly I know hopes are high in Mayo as well, because I was speaking to Martin Kearney earlier. And indeed, I heard somebody on national radio this morning said that the atmosphere and the mood in Mayo was never, and the hype was never as high. So I can't imagine what it's like, because they're pretty enthusiastic down there. Martin, good night to you, and you're very welcome. I'm joining us here we're in a special place tonight. We're in the club of Cahill McShane, obviously just down the road from Brian Doher's home club of Clannagiel. Certainly, what's the mood like in the West?
Well, unfortunately, we seem to have lost Martin Kearney.
We lost Martin. We'll just come back to that again. And
he doesn't want to tell you, Tom, what the mood's like.
Kevin will resurrect him. I know he's going out. He has a club game tonight. He's still involved in football down there. Of course, Martin played for Donegal, won an Ulster title for them in 74, and won a number of titles for Mayo when he moved there as well. And certainly he's a regular follower of Donegal football as well. I think he played on that famous day in Ballybuffet in 1973 when Donegal and Tyrone had that famous meeting. I'm not sure if anybody here remembers that particular game, but certainly it's one that goes down in history. I think I see somebody down the back there pointing a finger, but shall we try him again? I'm not sure if
he's taking a photograph of you actually, Tom. You need to get the glasses changed. we'll check with Martin, and again we'll give a mention, obviously a big shout out to Cahill, and also hello to another Cahill Lynch and the family in County Offaly, a Strabane man and a huge supporter, and he's keeping the Tyrone flag flying high in the garden of Offaly. That's from all his family in Strabane, Artigarvan and Derry, and that comes in from Eileen Murphy, who is the wife of our very own Aidan Murphy in Highland. Okay, Tom, I think our man from Mayo is back on again.
Yeah, Martin, good night to you.
Good night, Tom. How are you getting on?
We're here from we're coming to you live tonight from the Owen Rose Club here in Tyrone. Of course, you know that's the home club of Cahill McShane, and
yes,
as I mentioned, Brian Doher's Clannagiel is just up the road. I've heard the mood is pretty hectic in Mayo, and I can't believe it's any higher than it has been in recent years. What is it like?
Asher, you know yourself, as long as you're mad in the head down here, like when it comes to football. I mean, everything, like the All-Ireland final has been the talk of the county for the last 4 weeks. everything's a, you know, fever pitch, excitement, it's a fever pitch, you have colour, the buzz, great sense of occasion at the moment. And I suppose the only downturn, I suppose, is that tickets are in short supply, demand so great. But, no, look, there's, at the same time, with all the hype and all of that, there's a sober kind of realisation that there's a massive game in front of Mayo on Saturday if they're to win it. And like they would, Mayo people down here would have huge respect for Tyrone. And, you know, if they hadn't got it before it, well, then they certainly have it after the way that Tyrone went and beat Kerry in the semi-final after replay. Like everybody, you know, having Kerry on their lips as the All-Ireland champions for 2021. So people are looking forward to it, certainly, but nonetheless, they know there's going to be one hell of a battle, and a battle it will be, Tom.
And tell me, obviously, the big question on everybody's lips, I know it's all over the country, national media, local media in Mayo, and indeed up here in Tyrone as well. Will Aidan O'Shea start? Should he start?
He should start. Like, I mean, at the end of the day, Tom, he played the semi-final against Dublin, having had an injury leading up to it. And basically, he wasn't fully fit. The other thing about him is this: he was placed mainly in a full forward in that game. And I think he should start, but I wouldn't start him at full forward. The reason being that when he goes in there, I believe myself, he becomes detached from the game, loses concentration, and then starts to drift somewhat. If I, again, I'm not James Horn, and I don't know what his intentions are, but if I were him, I would put him out around the middle of the field, where I think his sheer presence, his tackling ability, and his ability to inspire others around him is considerable. And I would think he will start, and it'll probably be out in the middle area that you'd see him play.
So probably centre-half forward, is it?
No, I'd say I wouldn't be surprised midfield back to centre-back in that area. That wouldn't, to be honest with you, that's where I believe his optimum area is when he's playing inter-county football. Not as a forward, not as a forward-moving player, but as a guy who kind of patrols, commands the middle area and back towards his own half-back line.
And tell me, in terms of the Mayo team, for the one that started the last day, do you see any changes from that? Because Aidan did start at full forward. Obviously, there's going to be a change there. So who goes in full forward?
Well, the thing about it is the change probably will come, I believe the extra time that Mayo have got to prepare for this has actually been to the benefit, because they have managed to get time to get Oisin Mullen back. And I believe Mullen will come into the team somewhere, I'd say myself, obviously in the full-back or in the half-back line. It wouldn't surprise me to see him up in the half-back line. Or maybe he's just a direct swap for Owen McLaughlin, who I cannot see playing, despite a lot of comments that are out there at the moment. I just don't see him starting or actually being on the matchday squad. So I would say myself, what you'll see is Oisin Mullen coming back in. And who's to play full forward? I'm not quite sure. It wouldn't surprise me, actually, Ryan O'Donoghue starts there. Now, he's a very versatile player. He's a guy who scored, I think, 218 for Mayo in the championship this year. But he can fluctuate from centre forward to full forward to corner forward. And it wouldn't surprise me to see him manning a central part. And again, with a Tyrone mother, you wouldn't be one bit surprised if he's quite a versatile performer.
And tell me, looking at Tyrone, from a Mayo supporters perspective, what do you fear in Mayo or in Tyrone?
Well, in Tyrone, like what you see with Tyrone is a very, very well balanced team, a formidable outfit, a very hard tackling, a team that plays with high intensity. And like, okay, they don't have what I'd call the star quality maybe of the 03, 05, 08 team, like where you had Peter and you had kind of Stephen O'Neill, you know, Brian Duher, you had Brian McGuigan and so many other good players on Mulligan around them. But here, I think the sum of the parts is the essential thing with them. Like when you look at it for Tom, like they've had 18 scorers, I think, in the championship, and only three of them have scored more than 3 points. There's Darren McCurry, I think, Cal McShane, and I forget who the third guy is. I think it's Conor McKenna. But it's the sum of the parts. It's the interaction between the various sections and the combinations that they have and their ability to kind of play as a unit that really impresses me. You you look at the last day in the game against Kerry, like, I mean, the three fullbacks, McKiernan, McNamee and Paddy Hamsey, every one of them scored in that game. And, like, the players are liable to score from any position on the field in that team at the moment. Whereas you go to the teams of the naughty, so to speak, it was a stellar forward line that managed to get all the scores for them. So, basically, they're a very hard-working team, hard-tackling team. No star quality that I can see, maybe outside perhaps Peter Hart, but basically they're a team that are extremely difficult to beat. Pardon?
The thing, Cathal McShane fits that bill. Before we let you go, Martin, you will take comfort from the fact that there are green and red flags, or green and red jerseys, and one supporter wearing a green and red jersey here tonight. So obviously there is a Mayo connection up here as well. Look at Martin. Before we let you go, just in terms of Mayo, where can you see Mayo cause Tyrone problems?
Well, I think around the middle, I think Tyrone Mayo are quite good over in the middle of the field. I think maybe that we'll have a little bit of an advantage over Tyrone there. I think their kickouts have been exceptionally good this year. Like Robbie Henley's kickouts, long or short, are very good. I think what Tyrone will find at the weekend, actually, when they play Mayo, is they're playing against a team that are exceptionally well conditioned. Like the conditioning of the Kerry team in the semi-final was just abysmal for a team playing at that level. And they're all talking about the aggression that Tyrone can bring to the games. Mayo are no slouches in that department either. I think, you know, if they can get sufficient ball into the likes of Ryan O'Donoghue and young Conroy, I think those guys are well capable of actually mustering up a winning score. But it's going to be a dogfight from beginning to end. But I do think Mayo's greater experience, I think, will stand to them. I think the fact they're on an unbeaten run, Tom, they haven't been beaten since the All-Ireland final last year, I think that's going to stand to them. And, you know, when you cultivate a winning habit, it grows confidence and understanding, and I think it'll stand to them at the weekend.
Look at Martin, I know you have a game on tonight. Thanks a million for taking time out to speak to us.
My pleasure as always with you, Tom.
That's Martin Carney there, looking ahead to Sunday's game. Obviously, well, he's going to go for Mayo, but certainly he's expecting a tough game, Oisín.
Yeah, you didn't ask him about the curse, Tom. So you didn't. I suppose he's sick of being asked that, so he is. anyway, we're live here, I'm sure, as you've heard from the Lake Patrick Parish at the Owen Rose Club, and we're going to talk to a couple of the senior players now who were due to be out on the pitch here. Fantastic facilities, by the way, in the Owen Rose Club. They've two pitches just outside the club rooms here that's full of children at the moment, and there's a 4G training pitch just up the back as well, and fantastic facilities which has been used by all age groups. And the seniors were supposed to have training at 7 o'clock this evening, but they're under the management of a Donegal man from Niamh Connell and Glenties, Paddy Campbell, who decided to put it back to 8 o'clock this evening, so the Owen Rose boy band could get on the radio. So they could. Jared McShane, Ryan McShane and Brendan Boggs, you're welcome onto the area as a Highland boys.
Thanks very much.
So it's an exciting week. Jared?
You speak
Go ahead, Jared. I was told you were the one that likes to do all the talking.
That's Cahalan in Ryan then.
Listen, it's an exciting week, so does, isn't it, Jared?
Yeah, it's exciting. And as you can see, the club packed here. Well, I probably shouldn't be saying that on live radio, but they're standing outside every road there.
Yeah, we've got speakers out there. But by the way, we are actually being very, very careful in social distancing and following all the protocols. But we do have a good crowd in here, so they are all well spaced out. Listen, Jared, training tonight, you are taking things very serious at club level as well as the county boys.
Oh, definitely. I would say Paddy Campbell's looking on 2-1 there. Do you say let them boys out? Yeah. But no, we're taking everything very serious. I am. Championship's just around the corner now, so training's not easy. So
it's not easy. Listen, tell us about the cows, the prize cows that you have.
We're here to chat about
you. I don't know. The boys, they put it down in my sheet that apparently you like your cows more than the football. Well,
I can tell you one thing, Cahal doesn't do much work with them.
And we've also got Ryan, who's a cousin of Cahal. You're just back from underage training. You were out already this evening, so you were.
I kind of took a local boot camp up there, so it's kind of fitness training, help people underage, so just trying to help out as best I can.
Yeah. Listen, what are you going to make of Saturday night? Where's this game going to go?
Sorry?
Where's this game going to go on Saturday?
No, well, definitely full confidence in Tyrone. I think they've deserved to be where they're at. They've had a hard run, and definitely the hardest run out of the two teams, and a full confidence on them. I think that they've done themselves a lot of credit in 2018. They've learned from anything that was through their way, and I definitely think that they'll be in the one on side come Saturday.
Yeah, and you're of the same thinking, are you, Jared?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. Is it tight? Will it be a tight game, is it?
It'll not be easy now, but I think if we get a few matchups, well, obviously they've got all their matchups right so far to get to the final, so and maybe an or player on, maybe. No, I'm excited. No, it'll be a tight game, definitely. Yeah. Mayo's no slouches now.
He's been very effective, though, as a sub, so he has, Cal.
I don't be saying super sub.
I'll not say super sub. But he has been effective. He's played his part.
He definitely has. He's put on a lot of work this year. He puts on a lot of work every year, but they come back from that injury, and you know, I seen him at the very start and things weren't looking good.
Yeah.
And they watch him last week and put 2 weeks ago and put Kerry's lights out. Like, it's great to see.
Yeah, because it's a serious mental test to come through an injury like that. And I think the period of time that you're out, and you'll have doubts if you'll ever get back to that level.
Definitely, I would say. At the start, I mean, I don't know if it was him was saying or somebody was saying, but that injury, is a lot of people wouldn't come back from it.
Yeah.
And just testament to him and the hard work that he puts in, and you know, they see what he's came back from and what he done last week, and hopefully he's going to do this weekend too.
Can't forget about Brendan Boggs, just sitting quietly beside the two.
You don't have no questions left for him.
Questions. You play alongside, obviously, Cahill when he's available.
Yeah.
And he's not playing county. What does he bring to the senior setup, you guys?
He's inspirational now. He's a big boost whenever he comes back in from the county scene when that's over. And we're hoping to see the same as that in a couple of weeks' time when he's back with us.
Yeah, you boys have all been part of Hunter County teams, Tyrone teams that have been successful, and you, of course, have an All Ireland under your belt at underage level with Tyrone. What's it like? What sort of pride do you boys get when you have the red hand jersey on, Brendan?
Oh, massive! Yeah, of course. It's a huge honour, and Cahill's doing it at the moment. Declan done it in the past, representing your club. It's a massive achievement and a massive honour, especially from this area. Galvin probably touched on it earlier, we're a bit underrepresented, but I think we've done ourselves justice and done ourselves proud any time we have done, so yeah, it's enjoyable.
Obviously it would be huge for the club. You play a vital role in the club. If this was to come off on Saturday, the injection into the area and Gaelic Games would be massive, so it would, Brendan.
It would, yeah. It would be very well deserved for Cahill if he was able to achieve it, and Tyrone were able to get over the line on Saturday. The amount of work that the man not only put in to get to the county scene, but had he put in to get back to the county scene in this last year, you know, and what he gives not only to a senior setup, but to a club setup, and a real role model for the youth coming through there. That would be a huge reward and one well justified.
Yeah. And I'm sure Cahill would say that you boys played your part as well, senior members of the club, and helping him in his recovery, because you would have got him through tough days too.
Well, that's it. Like, you talked earlier about how much work he's put in there and physically the shape he's had to get himself into, but I suppose mentally as well, and no better test than when it comes to training here and his brother George marking him in the full back line. Like, you know, that's
you don't go easy on him, do you, George?
It's a mental test for him, man.
He gets it handy.
I was talking to, I was here last weekend, and we were talking about Cahill and the type of fellow he is, and I know we had him down in my own club in Termon for a presentation with the young people, and he was great with the young players. And I was told the story that he was here with a young team, and he was talking about football, but he also said that you're part of a club, and if you see a bit of rubbish or a bit of paper or a bit of litter lying about, pick it up. So that's what his club means to him, and he's trying to send that message sort of through to the young ones. So he is, Ryan.
No, definitely that's one thing. Yeah, always you'll hear him saying is the man's high standards. Yeah. That's in everything he does, whether it's training, whether it's, you know, appearance, different things, you know, that you're always doing everything the highest standards you can do it. So definitely think it's a good thing, and we've definitely progressed the last decade with Cahill in the senior ranks. Basically, you know, he's kind of got us out of the junior football. He's top scorer that year. He's came on the county scene now. He's brought an all-star back this, and the only thing really that he hasn't brought back is the Ireland medal, which hopefully on Saturday will change.
Yeah, and what does it mean to the club now this year going forward if you had an All-Ireland winner with the club? Can that drive you on to be intermediate champions, Ray?
I know, definitely. We're confident anyway, and I just think that if Cahill can get that Ireland medal on Saturday, he'll be coming back full of confidence too. But I think regardless of the result on Saturday, as we said, Cahill had a tough 18 months, you know, was on with an injury, and even the Australia decision, I think there's a lot of people had different opinions than that, and come back and get an injury, and then people, as I say, had a lot of opinions on that. Cahill put everything to one side. He's worked really hard. He's come back to play at as high a standard now as they left off with, and I think it's a credit to himself, and I don't think the result in the weekend is going to play a big bearing in our week a year ahead. I think Cahill knows that he's a point to prove, and he's going to come back and prove it, so full confidence in him to do that.
There's no better way to do it than Saturday. So what has been key then for you, Brendan, this year for Tyrone and getting as far as the final?
Obviously, Bolton are probably a real good defensive setup there. Like, their full back line, I thought, has been exceptional, especially the last day against Kerry. They played really well. Like, it's not often, I think, did Clifford score 7?
Yeah.
But you would say Ronan McNamee had a great game, and so he did. And the three lads went up the field. And
the keeper and the fullback line scored.
Points, yeah. So I think even in their forward line, they're showing very well. McCurry's stepped up. Great to have McKenna back there as well for another option. And I think if they had one wee tweak, maybe going into the final at the weekend, it would see them good.
Yeah. And it's going to be a tight game, Jared. You calling the tight?
I'm confident. Funny, your man from Mayo was on there, and he says, you asked him what he would fear about Tyrone. Yeah. That was their midfield, and I says, your man over here, I'd be all right and clean.
Which one now you're pointing, we can see, but they're right up to Brendan, or to Tom, you mean?
I would sort of be feared of Mayo's midfield.
Right.
I think they bring away a lot of pace and athleticism, and to be honest, we got cleaned out against Kerry in my field, so that's maybe something that we need to look at. But if we get that sorted early doors, I can see.
Yeah. But if you bypass midfield and get the likes of McKiernan and your cornerbacks running like the way they did the last day, can you overcome that, Ray?
I know, I have full faith. I think the men's got their matchups completely right so far. I think that they've picked their team wisely. Are they picking their strongest 15 each week out? You know, it's debatable. I think that they're using their squad really effectively. They've done that since the first round. I think they'll do the same at the weekend. Yeah. There's a lot of chat about who's going to start. I have full faith in the management. Whatever they pick, they play their cards right, as they've done all year, and I have full faith in them.
Yeah. Just finally then, is there a different buzz about this week compared to 18, Brendan?
Yeah, certainly, yeah. I think the atmosphere's a lot better. And I think everybody's going to end with an air of confidence. You're going down, we hope, in 18, you're going with confidence this time. So,
yeah. We're going to get a song from you boys before you leave. Anyway, what's Paddy Campbell going to bring to training now tonight from 8 o'clock?
I'm dreading it. Keep the crack going and we'll stay on for a while.
You said we use our. It'll be tough, will it? Yeah. Good Donegal man with hard training.
I know, Paddy, the man's high standards. I think that's why the one thing Paddy done as soon as he came in was appointed Cahill as his captain, because I think he's noticed that of Cahill, that the man's high standards, and every training is no different. You know, it's always hard work, and hopefully it does the business come 2 or 3 weeks' time when we're playing championship football.
Yeah, hopefully so. Listen, Jared McShane, brother, Ryan McShane, cousin, and then we've got club man and one of the senior players now, Brendan Boggs, who has a couple of All-Irelands to his name as well, joining us on stage. Gentlemen, thank you very much indeed for coming up and talking to us. Enjoy training, and the best of luck at the weekend.
Cheers.
Thanks for having us. Thank you.
You know what? We might have to come back, maybe. We might have to come back to get the song of the boys. So we will. When Tyrone won the All-Ireland. We also have to say hello to Cahill's mum and dad and sister, who are here tonight as well. They're just down in front of us. Hello, you're welcome. She's our big week for you. Yeah. Okay, still to come on the programme tonight, as you know, we are live here from the Owen Rose Club in the parish of Lekpatrick in County Tyrone. Later on after 8, we'll be speaking to Stephen O'Neill, a 3-time All-Ireland winner with Tyrone. Martin McHugh is going to be on our panel, and John Lynch is going to scoot across from the Castle Derg area and join us as well. Plus, we might get a word with Tori McLaughlin from Strabane Sigerson. She's the senior ladies captain of Tyrone. It's always nice to get the ladies' point of view on our Ireland week, and she's due to join us after 8 o'clock. She's got a young team that's out playing at the moment, but hopefully she will be here in time to join us. And coming up next after the short commercial break, we'll be hearing from the likes of Declan McCrossan, Danny Ball, and Niall Conway, who's made the trip down from Clanlegheel. And not forgetting about her live music as well. We've got the very talented Cora Early, who's going to be singing Dreams from the Cranberries. And Chrissy Mack this week has a Tyrone song out. It's called Back Home to Tyrone. I don't think he's done it live yet, but he'll be doing it tonight here in the clubhouse in Owen Paddock. So join us for more after this commercial break. And you're welcome back to our All-Ireland special here from the Owen Rose Club in Lake Patrick. And our coverage, as you heard there, in association with P. O'Neill in Stirban. And I know Connor is one of the senior players of the Owen Rose Club as well. So we thank Connor and indeed all of P. O'Neill for jumping on board and supporting us and bringing you this All-Ireland special as we continue to talk to guests and gentlemen that have connections, of course, to the Owen Rose Club. Coming up after it, we will have our panel of Stephen O'Neill, Martin McHugh and John Lynch. As we go back to Tom Comack, who has Declan McCrossan and Danny Ball joining him. Tom.
Yeah, welcome back once again, Oisín and Deer. Looking across here, I have three men in front of me, Danny Ball, Niall Conway and Declan McCrossan, and they look a handy enough full back line. I wouldn't like to have to play against them, so or is it the Pontypool front row? I'm not sure which, but we'll start with you, Declan. Obviously, you were one of the leaders, one of the men that was on that first ever All-Ireland winning team. Do you still think about it? Do you still dream about it?
Can't remember a while played about it, tell you the truth. Mm-hmm. It's that long ago. But my wains keep reminding me about it. Not that it was great, just that it was so really long ago.
Yeah. Well, you make the most of it, because in a few years' time, there was a story told some years ago where it's, about 10, 11 years after Donegal won the All-Ireland, somebody was in the national school in Ardran. They asked the kids about, in first class, about... What about Anthony Molloy? And someone says, who's Anthony Molloy? You know, so they'll be seeing the same around here if you don't
short,
keep...
Short memories.
Short memories. Yep. Talk to me about those years. You were in there at that time. You were under Mickey Hart as a minor, under 21. Did you play with Danny as under 21? No.
No, Danny's son. Thanks, pretty good. Mm. Well, you see, don't tell the truth. By 2003, I was only just hanging on by my fingertips. I was finished up. I stayed, my hamstring was done. But I came in with Mickey in 96. And Mickey really set the tone for everything that came after. Like, you know, when you talk about standards, we were the only team that came to matches shirt and tie. Didn't happen in any other team. Even the senior team at that time, like, they rocked up in whatever they were wearing. So Mickey set standards, and you just had to keep come up to his standards, because otherwise you weren't involved. So that was 96, and then we had a tragic year in 97, but we really saw what was possible. And I do believe as well that although we had a tragic year, when we lost in 97, I do believe that had we not lost, we would never have come back in 98, and we would never have come back in 2000, we would never have come back in 2003. So,
well, I suppose you can use your leash as your bonus, the time that beat you in that final. Because
I wouldn't thank leash for too much, tell you the truth.
You know, you can thank leash, no, look at leash, no. because leash you beat in the final, wasn't
it? Was, it? Yes, that's right. Uh-huh.
And they beat you in 97, wasn't it?
Yeah, they beat us by about 3 points, I think.
Mm. And tell me, you mentioned how organised Mickey Hart was, and he had a special way with the jerseys too. They weren't just thrown on the ball on the floor, were they?
I didn't know that. The very first day I went down, we were actually going down to Leash, 96, and I didn't know. And sort of, and here you had to fight to get your own jersey, you know. Yeah, and we landed down, and Mickey would have them set there in order in rotation, and that was all right because you were giving them out. When the team was named, you were giving them out in order. That was dead on. But after the game, I came in, took the jersey off, fired it to the bag. I'm sure I was told to go and lift the back up again. You know, you had to treat that jersey with as much respect as anything else. And that's, again, just one more thing he brought with him.
So that was an eye-opener for you, was it?
It didn't happen again.
Yeah, it didn't. And tell me, then moving on to 2003, winning the All-Ireland.
Yeah.
That was
brilliant, but I was thinking about that earlier on today, you know. I think it's actually, well, Martin Carney was saying how he thinks the 4 weeks for Mayo is a good thing. I actually think the 2 weeks for Tyrone is a better thing. Personally, I didn't get to enjoy the lead-up to the All-Ireland final in 2003. It more, the lead-up was more for the supporters, because the players don't want to know anything about it. They want to stay out of the road. So I think a shorter lead up is perfect for Tyrone, and they're coming in now, and they're still coming in off the high. 4 weeks ago, I think 4 weeks ago, Mayo were on the high, but I think hopefully that has dipped a wee bit, and Tyrone there coming in on a high. So in 2003, everything was brand new. We'd never done it before, and it was brilliant.
And what were the celebrations like?
For me and Stevie, actually, we were short-lived because we were starting teacher training that week in London. So we came back on the Monday, and we headed straight to Donegal Town. We were taking Donegal Town that night after we were in Omagh, and I think I got in the plane Tuesday night to go to London. Stevie, he had a bit of sense; he stayed for the week. But my celebrations were very short-lived.
And he still qualified.
He still qualified.
Danny Ball, you were there at the very start as well, but probably won the first two under-21 All-Irelands.
That's right, Tom. I was fortunate enough to be involved with the Miners. That would have been in the late 80s. And then the early 90s, I took over the under-21s in the management. We went to three All-Ireland finals. You know, Kerry, I always thought of this year in the semi-final in that league game. Like, we played Kerry in an All-Ireland under-21 final, and they beat us by 16 points. And we went back the following year and beat them by 20 points. You know, and that was the first under-21 All-Ireland we won. We went back the next year and defeated Galway and retained the title. And you had Peter Canavan and Adrian Kilpatrick, Barry McGinn. You know, there's a lot of good players, Paul Donnelly. And that was a start. That was following on from probably 86, Art McCrory, the team that he brought through. You know, we realised then what we could do down south. You know, like, we looked at Kerry's and the Dublins, and we looked at them in awe. But when we stood eyeball to eyeball to them, they were the same size as us. So that was a stepping stone, I hope, for it.
And of course, you played with Owen Rose here initially, did you?
I did. I started.
Are you an Owen Rose man or a Clannagale man?
I'm a Clannagale man.
Is the back door open?
The door's always open. No, I started. I played with Owen Rose, and probably started out with Glenelly first, and then come down to Owen Rose here. I played in the 1975 county final here, and then population, number of players, and then we started up in Athy Bragg, and the rest went on to Donnymanna, Clannagale. That's the way it was, just the numbers, Tom, were at that time. You know, people are still a talking point today in both parishes. Should it be broken up or should it not? And, like, we're the junior club now at the moment, you know, and we're surviving just.
And tell me, would you have brought Brian Doher into the squad first, did you? Or was it Mickey?
No, Brian was in the squad whenever I took over in 97. Brian was there. Brian just played in 96. Actually got Ulster Players of the Year that year. So Brian was already on the squad, but you'd have known what Brian was about. Like, he was very single-minded. He knew what he wanted. And Brian, I remember Brian turned up when we were going away for challenge matches. Brian would have come and he'd sat in the bus and he would have taken out this bag with him. And he had his books for his college. He was trained as a vet that stage in Dublin, but that's how Brian prepared himself. He knew exactly what he wanted, and still the same today.
You believe he's in this theory that he's the good cop, bad cop, that Fergal is the good cop and Brian is the bad cop?
Well, Brian will love with him being the bad cop. I don't think it'll bother him too much now.
And tell me, Niall McConvey's here with us as well. Tell us, Niall, you played with Brian, didn't you?
Yeah, played with Brian for many a year with Clannagale, yes. Some would say I probably played too many years. I should have hung up the boots long before I did. But yeah, played with Brian for 10, 12 years. And thankfully, you know, we had a meteoric rise from junior football to senior football, doing a double-double league and championship, junior and intermediate. And that really was, Stephen was just about 18, 19 then, and Brian was in his pomp, and we stayed up in senior football for something like 5-6 years, you know, and backboned by, obviously, Stephen and Brian. Like, so it was, you know, we were talking a week or two ago, just reflecting a club event we were doing, it's only in hindsight that you appreciate, you know, the luxury and that you had a play on the guys like that, because they were just awesome. You know, the scoring power of Stevie was just like supersonic. He was just unreal, either foot. And Brian's, I mean, everybody loves his energy and that, but people forget how he's the best Gaelic footballer technically that I've ever played with or seen in terms of handling skills, tackling skills, and just soling with the ball through four or five different people. He just did it at ease with power and pace. And I mean, that the his now iconic point against Kerry along the Cusick Parks, the Cusick, you know, Cusick end of Croke Park was just, I mean, that's amazing, like, you know. So yeah, when you look back, you're just blessed, you know.
So can you see a reflection of Brian in this current Tyrone team?
Absolutely. And I think obviously, I mean, you know, we play at that level, everybody's committed and all the rest, but, I mean, Brian and Fergal, you know, Fergal's a solicitor, Brian's a vet. They're very intelligent people on the pitch, off the pitch and all of that. So he's got that relentless spirit, but they're adding a wee bit of, I think, cuteness. And I mean, Conor Myler, for example, you know, his role and doing, you know, all of that. And he's doing what he's just as an example, you know, maybe in the last third he might struggle at times, but they have him doing what he should be doing and doing it so effectively, tracking and being that transition and being that link and letting the shooters do the shooting, you know. So his, you know, Brian always said, funny, I was chatting him two Sundays ago before the Kerry game, jokingly asked him, how do you stop David Clifford? And he said, you stop the ball getting into him. And he says, and that's all about your work rate out the middle of the park. And I know in any club games, and Danny managed us on a couple of different occasions with Clans, and hopefully can attest to this. You know, Brian didn't say an awful lot maybe in the changing rooms, but when he did talk, he listened. And it always almost, the last throw of the dice before, you know, before we left, it was work rate out the middle of the park. You know, and he set high standard. I don't know whether Dickie was talking about Mickey Hart, but Brian set high standards and he would have let you know if you weren't up to it, you know. So, but he accepted that because of who he was, because he put his neck on the line day after day, night after night. So you know, he was a good barometer for us, and we did try to aspire to it, even though we couldn't, you know, in many ways. But he definitely tried to, you know. But amazing player.
But there's some people in here, Tom, will be looking up wondering who Niall Conway is, because he's known as Barney in the area. And some people here tonight will have heard the word Niall Conway for the first time.
Yeah, I get called many's a thing, and Niall or Barney would be a bonus. But,
tell us, how did the Masters game go for you the last day? You're still kicking ball.
I thought I paid you money not to mention that. For those who don't know, sadly, I'm based in Belfast, and like an agent of my age, I'm still trying to play a bit. I play with Antrim Masters, and Mr. Stephen O'Neill, who's outside, gave us a bit of a lesson on Saturday in the first Masters game. Needless to say, I was running after him for a period, and you can all guess who won that battle. But I have,
oh, you
to
held
say,
him to 1-3. You're doing all right.
to be honest, we were just chatting to Steve there a wee minute ago about it and stuff. It's still enjoyable. Yeah. The Masters. Unfortunately, I'm a good wee bit over 40, but I still try, but it was very enjoyable, yeah. Okay. We did score 2-6, mind you, which was about 2-5 more than we scored the last time we played Tyrone, so right. So there's progress.
Yeah. Before we have a bit of music, just finally then to the three guys, Tom, we're going to ask them how's Saturday going to go now?
Okay, I'm going to agree with what Galvin said earlier. I think it could go to the wire. I think we all know that. I think it could go to extra time. And I think the benches are going to tell the tale. Whether it's one in normal time or extra time, and I'm hoping that Cahill starts. I'm not just saying that because I'm in the Glen, but I hope Cahill starts genuinely, and hope that Dara Canavan or Mark Bradley can be the difference. But I think the subs will tell the tale, but it might go to extra time, but I'll take a point victory.
Okay, Danny, you made some big calls on the line and you got the calls right too. So you did, and you ended up winning a couple of All-Irelands. What are you going to call this one on Saturday?
I'm talking Tyrone, not because I'm from Tyrone. I think Tyrone, from the first day they went out in Healy Park against Cavan, and I went to that match wondering, is this the team that was announced, is that team going to take to the field? And I liked what I seen, because I was standing here with Martin Devine from Owen Rose that day at the match, and we talked about it, and we talked about Cahill coming on. They're improving every day they go out, and I fancy them to just pop it.
Yeah. Okay. Tom.
But Danny, just before we finish up, we just all want to wish your brother Paddy very well, because I know he's ill at the moment, and I'm sure he's watching Tyrone in every game and in every match.
Oh, he would be, and if you're up beside him, like he's still very interested in football. He did a great article there a couple of months ago, maybe in the Irish News. People said, you know, and that was building on him over this last while. Unfortunately, can't be here. He'd love to be down here tonight, but. He's very much inspired with Tyrone.
I'm sure he's
all
listening, and we wish him well. We wish him, and
thank you, Tom.
Speedy recovery. Declan, needless to say, we know what you're going to think.
I'm very confident Tyrone could win, but I think it's more important that the players are confident. Like, you don't go down to get beat, and I think you can see with the way they carry themselves, they went down full confidence. I think a couple of points. I'm not going to say it's going to be easy, but a couple of points clear for Tyrone.
Thanks to Declan McCrossan, Danny Ball, and Barney. Niall Conway joining us up on the stage. Give them a round of applause. Okay, then. We're going to take a wee break here from all the serious talk about football, and we're going to have some fantastic entertainment. Coming up later on, we've got Chrissy Mackwell's Tyrone song, but first up, we're going to hear from a wonderful singer. Cora Early is on stage, and she's going to sing Dreams from the Cranberries for us.
Everything to me.
Brilliant stuff indeed. Corey Early, well done. That's Dreams. Tyrone, of course, dreaming of coming back down the road on Sunday afternoon with the Sam Maguire. Well done, Cora. Cora Early there. Keep an ear out for her in the future for sure. Okay, we're just going to take a break here. We're going to have an interval in our live show from the Own Rose Club in Lake Patrick. We're just going to break away for 5 minutes or so and give everybody a rest. But still to come in part two, we will have our expert panel. Stephen O'Neill, Martin McHugh and John Lynch will be joining us shortly here on a Score programme tonight, live from County Tyrone. We'll be back with more in a few moments.